Our text tonight is found in that chapter that our brother Stephen read for us. It's the verse 16 in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to his gospel. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to his gospel. With God's word open, can we ask the Lord to bless the reading of his precious word. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll hide man behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, you know the hearts of those that are in the meeting. You know those that are thine. You know those, Lord, that are not saved or in the backslidden. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak loudly through your word tonight. And Lord, that you'll bless and undertake. Now, Lord, hide me behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. For we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You know, my friends, tonight the great scourge of the human race is not cancer. It's not even crime. It's not even war. But it is an unseen enemy called sin. Through the centuries, sin has claimed its victims by the millions. Yet people mock sin. No one can read the Bible very much without realizing that a great deal of attention is given to the subject of sin, its cause and its cure. People often think of sin in connection with crime or with murder. But sin in the Bible refers to anything that is short of God's perfection. We read in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is therefore a falling short of the mark. And all are guilty of this. Everyone can see the effects of sin in our world. Sin has spawned wars. Sin has brought violence. Sin has brought family problems into our homes. Sin has brought sadness into our homes. But you know, the Bible tells us in James 1 and 15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, my friend, tonight, sin is the problem at the root of all people's problems. Jeremiah tells us in 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And you know, my friend, because of sin, God must judge sin. And we read this text tonight, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Very quickly tonight, I want you to notice three things in this text. First of all, I want you to notice the certainty of judgment. It says, in the day when God shall judge. And secondly, I want you to see the nature of the judgment declared. The secret of men. And last of all, and briefly, I want us to look and see the judge revealed. And this verse tells us who the judge is. By Jesus Christ. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. We want to look first of all at the certainty of judgment. The certainty of judgment. In the day when God shall judge. Here the word of God gives us a note of certainty. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say there could be judgment. It doesn't say sometime there may be judgment. But here we see that it says definitely that there is judgment. The day when God shall judge. You know, my friend, tonight, why is judgment certain? Because of who and what God is. He is absolutely pure and sinless. He hates sin and loves goodness. He must separate himself from sin and must punish sin. We read the first instance of sin is described in the third chapter of Genesis. It took place in the Garden of Eden. And we see how our forefather, our parents, Adam and Eve, and they were warned not to take of the tree in the midst of the garden. They could take of all the other fruits. They were in complete communication with the Lord. But you know, the minute that they sinned, the first instant of that sin, as soon as they sinned, they tried to hide from God. They realized they had sinned and they hid from God. Adam and Eve disobeyed and they died spiritually that very day. God's judgment was certain. From that day, their bodies began to die. Sickness came into their bodies, aging, and then death. You know, my friend, tonight the Bible tells us of the certainty of judgment. We read in Hebrews 9 and 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Everybody knows that there's one day that they will die. But you know, my friend, after death, the Bible tells us there is the judgment. There was a new minister came to the town, and this young skeptic, he thought that he'd be smart and he would go in and try and disrupt the meeting. He went into the meeting and the young minister got up to preach his first sermon. And his first sermon was this very text, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. This young skeptic stood to his feet and he said, "Preacher, I'll prove to you there's no judgment." And the preacher looked down and he said, "Young man, I'm not here for a debate. I'm here to preach the gospel." The young man says, "Maybe you don't know the Bible. I'll debate with you." And the minister said, "Young man, I've just one thing to say to you. Just one thing. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." That young man took his heels and walked out of the church. And he tells in his testimony how, as he walked along the street and as he went over the brook, the water seemed to be running and it kept saying, "Judgment, judgment, judgment." As he was walking past, the train was coming past in the line and the trains kept saying, "Judgment, judgment, judgment." He said that night he went to put his head on the pillow. And it came back to him, "Judgment, judgment, judgment." That young man got up the next morning. He went along and he found out where the manse was, where the young preacher lived. He knocked the door and the preacher recognized him. He said, "Young man, I'm not here to have an argument with you." But the preacher noticed something different about the young man. And he says, "Preacher, I want to tell you that I now know that there is death, but I also know that there's judgment." And he says, "I want to get saved." And that man had the joy of pointing that young man to the Savior. Oh, my friend, there is the certainty of judgment. Romans 6 tells us God has pronounced the penalty of sin is death. This penalty must be paid, and God must punish sin. As long as a person lives in sin, they are dead spiritually. And if they still die in their sins, they will be forever banished from God. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were put out of the garden. That beautiful garden that was presented to them to look after, The Bible tells us not only did they bring sin, but they brought judgment on the very earth, because God cursed the earth, and judgment came even on the very earth. Oh, my friend in this meeting tonight, if you're not saved, can I tell you that there is the certainty of judgment? If we turn to Revelation 20, we read about that great white throne. And the Bible tells us that the small and the great will stand in that great white throne. Those that have rejected the offer of God's salvation, those that have rejected the finished work of the cross, will stand in that great white throne. And it says the great and the small, the rich and the poor, the beggar will stand at that great throne and be judged. And you know, it says at the end of that verse, because their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were cast into the lake of fire. Oh friend, tonight there is the certainty of judgment. But you know, this text also tells us of the nature of the judgment declared. What will be judged? The Bible tells us here in this verse, the secrets of men. The secrets of men. Revelation 20 and 12 have already mentioned it. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know, my friend, tonight, the sin of Adam was, Adam's nature was passed on to all of the human race. So all of humanity have sinned against God in thought and word and deed. You know, John Knox said, when he was a young man in his youth, he confessed in his youth, "I find nothing in myself but corruption." John Wesley said, "I am fallen short of the glory of God. My whole heart is altogether corrupt and abominable." Charles Wesley, in that great hymn, wrote, "Vile and full of sin am I." You know, my friend, we had that nature, that sinful nature passed on to us. God will judge each man and woman who has not repented of their sin and has washed in the blood of the Lamb. This sinful nature and time is evidenced by sinful thoughts. It's evidenced by words. It's evidenced by deeds. It's evidenced by their attitude towards God. Sinful man will not have anything to do with God. Sinful man says, "I will not obey God. I will not come God's way of salvation. I will go my own way. I'll do my own thing." The Bible tells us that the nature of the judgment declared, it is the secret of men's hearts. I know, my friend, in this meeting without Christ, if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, someday you'll stand at that great white throne, and every sin that you thought that was hid will be brought out, because the Bible tells us that the books were opened. The books were opened, and they were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know, there was an Indian prince, and that Indian prince had a leprosy mark just on his forehead. And to hide that leprosy, he used to put a beautiful diamond just to hide it. And when he went out into the public, and when the sun shone in that beautiful diamond, it put out a beautiful ray all around the place. And nobody knew that behind that diamond was that awful leprosy. But you know, when he would get home and he would take that off, he would look and he would see that leprosy, that awful leprosy. And you know, in the Bible, leprosy speaks of sin. And you know, the Bible tells us sin, when it is finished, bringeth fourth death. You know, there was a king, and this king had a friend who was his jester. And this jester was his fool, if you want to call it, in those days. And one day he said to the fool, "I'm down, will you make me happy this day?" And he made his king laugh. And the king gave him this lovely staff. And he says, "You have been a great fool for me." And he says, "I want you to take this fool, this staff. And if you ever meet another fool, give that staff to that fool, a greater fool than yourself." Years to come, that king took very ill. And the jester went to the queen and he said, "I'd like to go in and speak to the king." And he started to speak to the king. And he said, "Sir, I know that you are going to die. Have you prepared to die?" And the king looked at him and he says, "No, I haven't." And the jester said, "Do you remember the time you told me when I found a greater fool than myself, I was to pass this on?" He says, "Well, I am passing it on to you because you're a fool. You're going into a journey into the unknown and you haven't prepared." He said, "Your Majesty, if you were going to another country, you would have made sure of all the preparations of your journey." He says, "But you're going on the greatest journey into death and you have not prepared." Oh, friend, tonight, have you prepared? You know, the Bible says that in the day when God shall judge the secret of men, what a day that will be, standing at that great white throne. And you hear that awful sound from the Saviour, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh, friend, tonight, are you washed in the blood? Are you cleansed? Tonight you can get your sins dealt with at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. But you know, finally, in this verse we read, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ." Here we see the judge revealed. The judge revealed by Jesus Christ. Yes, God's judgment is sure, and the assurance of judgment is coming, is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In Acts 17, "He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he give assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead." How certain is judgment? It is as certain as God's word. God's word cannot be broken. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge at that great white throne. You know, this judge will judge according to truth. This judge will judge in accuracy. This judge will have no falsehood. This judge, his judgments are righteous. His standards are perfect. He makes no mistakes. You know, when I was in the police, I remember many's a time being in the court. And I stood and I listened to the evidence. And you know, as I listened, I knew the person was as guilty as could be. But you know, the judge was fooled and that person went out free. But you know, it happened the other way as well. People who were guilty got away free. You know, my friend, what a difference here. The Lord Jesus Christ, he will make no mistakes. No one can claim unfairness of this judge. His judgments are truth. He is the all-seeing God. He can see what happens. And you know, my friend, there'll be no appeal at this judgment. There'll be no appeal. There's a story I read one time about a young man, and he was riding a bicycle along this day. And there were tram lines along where he was riding his bicycle. And as he was riding, his bicycle got caught in one of the tram lines. And as he was riding, he didn't know that there was a train coming behind him. A tram. And this man saw that was going to happen. And he grabbed the young man and pulled him to safety. And that young man's life was saved. The next day, that young man had to attend court. And as he was sitting in the court waiting for the judge to come in, what a shock he got. When he looked up, he saw the judge was the man who had saved his life the day before. And the judge listened to all the evidence and listened to what was brought. And the young man was found guilty. The judge looked at the young man and he said, "Young man, do you remember yesterday?" And he says, "Yes, I do, sir." And he said, "Young man, yesterday I was your saviour, but today I'm your judge. Young man, I have to make a judgment on you." And you know, my friend, in this meeting without the Lord Jesus, today the Lord Jesus could be your saviour. But if you reject his way of salvation, he could be your judge. You know, Paul tells us in Romans, Paul says that people who refuse to turn to God in repentance are storing up wrath. There are many things that we choose to store up, but wrath is not one of them. God shows great patience. God shows great kindness. And God shows great tolerance towards us. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He is slow to anger. The purpose of his patience and kindness is to give the person opportunity of coming to him in repentance. Those who refuse that invitation are storing up wrath against themselves for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. But God, my friend, has sent his Son to deliver us from this wrath. When Christ died at Calvary, he endured the wrath of God for his people. That is why he is able to save you tonight and all who will come to him from the wrath of God. And you know, the Bible tells us, if we come to the Lord Jesus and accept him as our own and personal Savior, Romans 8:1 tells us, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you come to Christ as your Savior, God has accepted Christ's sacrifice. Justice has been done on your behalf, and through his shed blood, you will never be at that great white throne to answer for your sin. Oh friend, tonight, the Bible says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ according to his gospel, the certainty of judgment is coming. The nature of the judgment declared, the secrets of men's hearts, the judge revealed by Jesus Christ. Oh, tonight, if you're in this meeting without Christ, you can escape that judgment. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you just say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Wash me, cleanse me in your precious blood," he'll save you. I remember the night away back in 1966. Just as a young man, I said, "Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me in your precious blood." And he washed me and he cleansed me in that blood. Oh friend, tonight, I would plead with you tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come to know him. I lifted a little book the other day, and with this I'll close. It told the story of two men on the great sailing ships of their day. And they were up in the rigging and they were working away on the rigging, and the ship hit a wave. And the boy who was talking was a believer, and the other boy didn't believe. And he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. And he said, "There is no God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the hereafter. And just as the boat hit that wave, he fell into the water. And it was getting very dark that night. And of course, the other man shouted, "Man overboard." And they got the rowing boat out and started to row about with a lantern looking for this dear man. Fortunately enough, they got him. And they got him into the longboat. By this time, his friend had come down from the riggings of the boat. And he walked in to his friend. And he said, "I'm glad to see you. What happened when you hit the water?" And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what happened when I hit the water." He said, "I prayed." And he said, "But sure, you told me up there that you didn't believe in God." He says, "Ah." He says, "When you're in the water and you see the ship sailing away and you know there's no hope for your soul," he says, "then you believe there is a God." And he said, "Just in that water, I give my heart to the Lord." And that dear man came and trusted the Savior. Oh, friend, tonight, I would say to you, flee from the wrath of God. Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. What a Savior he is. He died on that middle cross. And the cry from that cross was finished. And salvation was complete. Oh, I plead with you tonight. Come and trust the Savior. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to his gospel. We're going to close.